Mi casa es su casa. Whether you have studied any Spanish at all or none whatsoever, you probably have heard that phrase before, that statement before. What is more, you probably already know what it means. Mi casa es su casa. Basically, what's mine is yours. This statement may be made when a new person is allowed into another person's house. Quite often it is made when someone permits a friend to come to their house for the first time. Although on occasion it happens when just an acquaintance or a coworker or someone may stop by and they might say the same thing. Mi casa es su casa. My house is yours. What's mine is yours for you to use. That's almost the same sentiment that Christ gives at the end of our epistle text this morning, among others. Again, if you look at the text, you can see that Paul kind of goes all over. He talks about the teaching about our Lord Jesus Christ being the foundation upon which we build. He talks about how we build upon that foundation with our works. He talks about how some may be saved even if their works do not stand the test, to the fact that we are God's holy temple, to the futility of the world's wisdom. And I may have even missed a few in there. He goes all over the place. But again, our focus today will be on how all things of Christ are yours in Him, in His death and resurrection. How His casa is su casa, that is, your house. Paul begins, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus' casa, His house, is yours, and He Himself is the foundation. But what does that mean, that He is the foundation? It means that you have been studying and hearing the true doctrine of His Word, the truth of the Scriptures, in teaching and in preaching, in the adult Bible class, and in coming to worship services time and time again. Paul had been doing the same thing in Corinth. He had laid the proper foundation of the doctrine of the Word of God, of the Word of Christ. And he said that now someone else was continuing that building. Most likely it was Apollos, but we're not really sure who was the other one building. But Paul's concern wasn't whether it was Apollos or Cephas or one of the other apostles. His concern was that someone else would come along and try to distort that foundation, to rebuild it in their own image rather than that of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul warns that no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid. In his second letter to the Corinthians, he mentions a group called the super apostles. These were men and women who were claiming to have secret knowledge from God and claimed to be superior to the apostles of Christ, thus super apostles. And so Paul warns them against these guys and girls and saying, don't go after them. Don't let them distort the foundation that you've heard from me and from the other apostles. There cannot be another foundation. The only foundation that can be laid is Jesus Christ and the true doctrine about Him. Today we receive the same warning from Paul, and yes, even our Lord Christ through Paul. Don't let anyone try to distort or lay a different foundation than what you have been hearing from the Word of God. Devotional books, TV and radio, preachers and divisions abound. Now some of those may be useful. Some of those may teach things that go along with the Word of God and may be of great use. But from time to time, you may even find a good author of a devotional book say something that you kind of go, wait a second, is that really what the Scripture said? And when you look, you realize, no, that's not quite how God put it. And so you might put that part aside and continue to use the rest of it. But the point that Paul wants you to know and that Christ wants you to know is to test everything according to the Word of God. If it agrees, continue to use it. Use those radio preachers, use devotional books, use the divisions. But if they disagree with the Word of God, send them away. Don't listen. Don't let them distort the foundation that has been built on your faith. Paul continues, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Paul wrote these words to his fellow believers in Corinth. He was pointing them to their baptism, just as we might be reminded of our baptism through those same words. The Corinthians no longer had to worship at the temple in Jerusalem. They were God's temple. As a result of Christ's work in living, dying, and rising again, all who would come to faith in him would become Christ's temple, that is, the church, each individually members of that same church. And that is still true for us today. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection has paid for the price for your sins and has cleared the way for his Spirit to live in you as his temple. You are the church. You and me, all of our brothers and sisters throughout the world and even into the very heavens, we are the church. We are the church and God's Spirit dwells in us because Jesus has removed the guilt of sin from you. As the church of God and God's temple, we are his casa. We are his house. Individually, then, we receive the gifts of being God's house. We receive the gifts Christ earned for us by his life, and especially his sacrificial death in your place, in my place. We receive baptism, where we are washed and our sins are washed away, and the Spirit enters into us. We receive the Word of God, where we hear the Word, and the Holy Spirit continues to build us up in that Word. And we also receive the Lord's Supper, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins and for the strengthening of your faith, that the Holy Spirit may use that in strengthening your faith. You receive fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ as well. And you have received a called and ordained pastor to proclaim to you and to give you God's gifts. Again, should the pastor attempt to distort the foundation that you have heard from God's word, you should be concerned. But if he does not, then there is no need for you to go church shopping because you are receiving everything of the Lord Christ as your own. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or the present, or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Just last week, if you remember, we were also looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And Paul makes the point that some of them were saying, I follow Apollos, and some were saying, I follow Paul, and others said that they followed Cephas, or the other apostles. And Paul said that is not to be. Don't boast in the man that is preaching to you, for what are these men? And the same could be said today. I hope that you are not boasting in having me as your pastor. And I hope the members at St. Paul are not boasting for having Pastor Haler or Pastor Spears as their pastor, or that Salem is boasting that they have Pastor Meyer. For after all, who are Apollos and Paul? Who are Pastor Josh and Pastor Meyer? But servants of God who give you his word and who give you his gifts. So which is greater, the one who delivers the gifts or the gift itself? But the gift itself. We are only servants delivering to you the gifts that are yours already by your membership in the temple of God. All things are yours already. The word, baptism, the Lord's Supper, once you've learned how to properly partake it in catechism classes. In addition, Paul mentions the world, life, death, the present, and the future. Christ has created you to have a body and has called you to serve in this life. He did not leave you in your sin, but has claimed you as his own, as a member of his temple. And as such, now you can serve both God and your neighbors, as I was sharing with our student a few minutes ago. You have your entire life to serve him and to serve your neighbors. And even in death, if you die in faith, you are serving your neighbors so they can see that you died in faith. And so it doesn't matter if the time is the present or the future, all are yours, and all are times when you can serve God and your neighbor. You are no longer under God's judgment because Jesus Christ has taken your place. Instead, you are Christ, and Christ is God's. In order that you can live having everything, especially the rich gifts of Christ, given to you as members of his house. His casa most certainly is su casa, that is, your house. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.